We're going to begin reading in verse number 15. 23 verse 15, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among wine-bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word once again. We thank you for our mothers and the blessing that they have been to us in so many different ways. And we recognize, Lord, it was your wisdom and your love that gave us each the mothers that we needed. And Lord, we just pray your blessing on our time together as we gather around your word. May you challenge us and strengthen us and enable us, Lord, to do what you would have us to do each day. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And so the message today is essentially going to be in two parts. First is directed to all of us here, as all of us have mothers, and I hope to provide all of us with some words of challenge and encouragement as we seek to honor and bless our mothers, not only this day, but throughout the year. And the second part is geared specifically to those of you here who are mothers, and even to some of you here that one day could be mothers, and to hopefully be a blessing and encouragement to you in the days ahead. And for as long as any of us here can remember, this second Sunday of May has been the day set aside on account of which we honor our mothers. And we recognize the value of this day for two reasons. That first, our mothers are certainly deserving of honor. From the beginning of our lives, they nurtured us, they guided us, they protected us and prepared us for life. They put up with a lot from us. Temper tantrums, or life-threatening errors in judgment, or hormonal imbalances, and sometimes they dealt with all three of those things in a single instance, sometimes with us. And at times we've driven our mothers to distraction, at other times we've driven them to tears. We've often filled their lives with, we could say, unnecessary drama and stress, and even heartache. But yet their love for us abided, that much of who we are today, we realize, has been molded by our mother's influence. And we wouldn't be on this earth and be what we are today were it not for them. And so our mothers have laughed with us, they've cried with us, sometimes cried for us, and they have helped soothe our hurts physically and emotionally. And clearly they deserve our gratitude, they deserve our respect and our appreciation. And so this day is thus a helpful and valuable reminder to us to take the time to show that gratitude and respect and appreciation of our mothers. Secondly, we recognize that honoring both our parents is a command of God. It is the fifth of the Ten Commandments. And as the Apostle Paul spoke of in Ephesians chapter 6, it is the first commandment with promise. As it says in verse 3 of Ephesians 6, we have the promise that as we honor our father and mother, that it's going to be well with us and that we're going to live long on the earth. In other words, we have the expectation from God that we will be blessed with a long, full life if our lives are guided by this principle of seeking to honor our parents. And we understand this is not a bribe from God to entice us to honor our parents, because really we shouldn't need that to do that. We ought to do it because it's right. But really, we understand much more that it is a natural consequence that God is laying out to us, that this is what's going to happen as you learn to honor and listen and appreciate your parents and your parents' influence. And on the flip side, we recognize from the scriptures too that there's naturally consequences for us if we fail to honor our parents. We read in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 20 where it says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." And in Proverbs 30, verse 17, it says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." Now, does that sound, either of those sound very good? Having one's lamp put out in obscure darkness and having your eyeball picked out by birds? No, that's not a good thing. That's not something that we would want to happen. And so for our own good, in so many different ways, it is good for us, all of us, to honor our fathers and mothers. And so for us to have a day set aside that reminds us to do exactly that, that's a good thing for us. That we remember, oh yeah, that is something I need to do. That is a command. I needed this reminder. And I appreciate it, the day for that. But yet in both cases, it is obvious that just because we have one day a year in which we are to honor our mothers, by no means should that mean it is the only day that we do so. Imagine if we spent the other 364 days of the year showing no honor to our mothers, or worse yet, dishonoring our mothers. Would the one day of the year that we show honor to them, would that be truly meaningful to them? Probably not. And furthermore, if we honor our mothers only one day of the year, and the other 364 days of the year we dishonor them or fail to honor them, how much of God's promised blessing can we expect to enjoy? And on the other side, how much of God's cursing would we expect to suffer because of that? That it's not something that we do it one day of the year and we've done our part and we're good for the year kind of thing. That's not how it works. That it's something that we're supposed to be doing each day. And the honor that we show to our mothers should not be precious to them because of its rarity. It should be much more a habit of our lives. That it, yes, we rightly make a fuss over our mums today, but it should be the capstone of what we've been doing all through the year. And so does that mean that we should send our mothers more flowers more often? Well, perhaps, but we realize those are just tokens of our love and appreciation. That the honor that we show them should be more substantial than that. And furthermore, there comes a time when, of course, our mothers pass from this earth, and we can no longer give them those tokens of appreciation as we once did. But yet we're still to honor our father and mother. How best do we still do that in a significant way, both presently and eternally speaking? And that brings us to the passage we began with here this morning in Proverbs chapter 23. The words here are written from a father to his son, but I think we can readily and reasonably make the application as well of how a mother would feel to her son and what a mother might say to her son as well. And those first couple of verses we read, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine, yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips be great things." That, in other words, that if we have wise hearts, and if our lips speak right things, that is going to bring joy to the hearts of both our father and our mother. If instead we envy sinners, as it talks about in the following verses, we spend our days amongst gluttons and drunkards, what is that going to do? It's going to bring sadness to our parents, isn't it? That Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 echoes this thought. Proverbs Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. That it gives a picture that the sin and foolishness of a child that they've raised, it weighs a mother down. You can picture it, that just for the mom, that it's like throwing a weight onto her back, that it's heaviness. It weighs a mom down with grief and sorrow and shame. And thus, we read and recognize that we should heed the admonition in verse number 22, where it says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." That it's a thought that we need to cherish our father and mother, that especially as they get older, that there's that thought that they used to be able to do so much for us, but it comes a point where they're not able to do, and so we seek to be there for them and do as much for them as we can, that we value them and cherish them and spend time with them. And it's a thought as well, cherishing too the wisdom that they've sought to pass down to us, that we recall the things that they've said. And there's different things that we can think of that sometimes our parents express them, and it maybe wasn't as fancy a way of saying it, but they found a way to get it across to us, something that stuck with us, that has been a help and a guide to us, that it just, in many ways, it's kept us from a lot of trouble remembering that, or it just helped get us going in the right direction a lot of times, whether it's just to learn to work hard, whether it's to learn to be able to deal with things and not to feel sorry for ourselves. Sometimes it can be kind of the gentleness. Some other times it's been a bit of a tough love for us. But we look back at those things and we value those things, that they were a help to us, and we want to cherish that. And wisdom is something. As we see in verse number 23, it says, "Buy the truth and sell not off of wisdom and instruction and understanding." It's the thought that wisdom is something that we should be willing to spend our resources to obtain. And once we have obtained it, we should not part with it. It's we buy the truth and sell not off of wisdom, instruction, understanding. These are things we want to gather. We want to have an abundance of. And that's significant to think about, that is because so often, especially in today's world, we have the tendency to focus on accumulating things, but much more it speaks in the scriptures of accumulating wisdom, that's what we need to seek after. And so it's a thought that, do we desire to truly honor and bless and bring joy to our mothers, not just on Mother's Day, but throughout the year? But we see the principle given verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. That the way that we truly bring joy to our mothers, not just on Mother's Day, but throughout the year, is by becoming men and women who walk in wisdom, righteousness, and truth. And in a third epistle, John the Apostle speaks of this in a spiritual sense of those that he had ministered to and helped to disciple. But we recognize it to be true in a natural sense as well. And 3 John verse 4, it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And And that's the thing for any parent, for any mother, that to know that their children walk in truth is a tremendous blessing and joy. And we bring true honor and true joy to our mothers, not by the things that we give them, but by the people that we become as we get older. That our mothers have invested their lives in us. And naturally, since they've, and we realize how much of an investment that they have made, that in terms of caring us in a room, of looking after us, helping us to grow, dealing with all our sicknesses and drama and other things that we do, and just having been there for us for so much and how much of an investment that they have made, it is natural that they would hope to have a return on their investment. They've sought to guide us. They've tried to prepare us for life. They've warned us of different pitfalls to avoid. And so they've been a great help. But if we come to a point in our lives, if we decide, well, we know better than everyone else, including our parents, if we go off after foolishness and sinfulness and falsehood, that it naturally brings grief and anguish to our mothers. It makes them feel like their entire labor of love was in vain. It was totally unappreciated. But if instead we each walk into and through adulthood with humility, if we value the counsel of our parents, if we make careful decisions, if we think things through, if we treat others the way that we've been taught that we should, if we don't hang out with those who are going to be a bad influence on us, if we live lives where we're seeking to be holy and righteous, we seek after God's truth, and we seek to have God guide us in our lives, as we do that, that brings joy to a mother's heart far more than any flowers or cards ever could. And the following thought should be a guide to us in many ways through life. That in what we can ask ourselves this question, am what I am about to do going to bring joy and honor to my mother, or sorrow and dishonor to my mother? And once they find out about it, that sometimes we think, well, they'll never find out about it, so I can just do whatever. But if they did, what would be the response? Would it bring them joy or sorrow? And if we get in the habit of asking that question, I think that could help both them and us from avoiding a lot of sorrow. And so we want to be wise in that. And we want to understand, God gives us the parents that He does for a reason. There's so much that we can learn from them. And it wasn't some accident of who He placed in our life. That they had the personality and the different things that we needed one way or the other. That things that we had to learn, even sometimes if it might have simply been what not to do. But we needed them, and God provided them with us, and for us, rather. And in many ways, we recognize, too, that the relationship that we have with our parents as we grow up, that's designed to prepare us for a relationship with God. And so it's important that we learn to relate to our parents properly, so that as we come before our Heavenly Father, that we will relate to Him properly as well. And if we have a tendency to be pig-headed, to rebel against authority, to reject the wisdom of those that God has put in authority over us, that certainly doesn't put us on a very sure footing for life, for avoiding the pitfalls of life God tries to warn us of. And it thus stands to reason that it is a natural consequence of the choice we make and the life we choose to live, that those who dishonor and disregard their parents will tend to have a more difficult and even a shorter life than those who honor their parents and who are humble enough to recognize they don't have all the answers and who are willing to seek after wisdom, righteousness, and truth. And so for all of us today, may we learn to walk in wisdom and righteousness and in truth, so that we may bring honor and blessing and joy to our mothers, not only for this one day of the year, but throughout the year. And as promised, I want also to say a few words of encouragement to mothers here based on what we've talked about thus far. Having children that act wisely, that do right, and that walk in truth is a source of great joy, but it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes you do your best, but you end up with a prodigal son or daughter who wanders away from what you've taught them. It makes decisions which are a grief to the mind. And it naturally brings sorrow and heaviness. It makes you feel like you failed as a parent. Just the whole thought of having to watch the train wreck that they're making of their lives, which could be so easily avoided if they just listened, it seems to be an unbearable prospect. And in this, I want to encourage you with a few words from the scriptures that sometimes it may seem that our labors are in vain, but we know from the scriptures that our labors are not and are never in vain for the Lord. That it talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, that we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know that our labors are not in vain in the Lord. And sometimes it seems that all that we've sought to do to help someone has been forgotten. We want to realize God has not forgotten. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name." That it's that thought that God doesn't forget when we do something for him and for others in love, that it's not forgotten, it's not ignored, that the Lord remembers and the Lord values it very much. And sometimes it seems like your efforts might be wasted, but we never want to give up. And it says in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That it's the principle which we're very familiar with at this time of the year of sowing and reaping. That it's the thought that we're going to sow now, but there's not going to be a harvest presently. It's going to be a harvest later on, that we sow for time to come. And sometimes it may seem that such a long time between the seeding and the harvest. But it says there, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That it's the truth from the scriptures that God is faithful, and that as we do what is right, that there is going to be a harvest. That we with our children, even those that are wayward, that we keep loving them, we keep praying for them, we keep crying over them, trusting that in the days to come there will be a reaping. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6 declare, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And it is a promise from the Lord that we have, that as we do that, and often as we sow in tears, that we're going to reap in joy. And so we don't want to give up on anyone, especially not on our children, especially not on those that are wayward, because we've maybe done all we can, but we can continue to do what we can and trust that there will be results in time to come. That as a mother, that your love and prayers have more power than you realize to God and to your children. And to close, I would like to read the words of a song written by Lizzie D'Armond. She was actually a mother of eight and was widowed and had to look after the eight of them, and she began writing songs, and that's how she earned her income. But she was a Christian woman, and she wrote this hymn titled Mother's Prayers Have Followed Me. It says, I grieve my Lord from day to day, I scorn His love so full and free, and though I wandered far away, my mother's prayers have followed me. Or desert wild or mountain high, a wanderer I chose to be, a wretched soul condemned to die, still mother's prayers have followed me. He turned my darkness into light, this blessed Christ of Calvary. I'll praise His name both day and night, that mother's prayers have followed me. I'm coming home, I'm coming home, to live my wasted life anew, for mother's prayers have followed me the whole world through. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word. We thank You for mothers that have prayed for us and cried for us, Lord, and the fruit that we have seen in our own lives. We just pray, Lord, for mothers here, and You would just bless them, Lord, and encourage them, and Lord, we just pray for them that they would continue to see fruit in time to come from the love and prayers that they've shown in the lives of their children. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.